Matthew chapter 14 is a familiar event that takes place in the life of Jesus and the disciples. And there's a particular aspect here that I want to try to bring out. And our goal as Christians is to please the Lord, right? But sometimes there's a problem because we are in our comfort zone, and I guess you guys are like me. We don't like getting out of our comfort zone. We like to stay right in that area where we're familiar. The things that, for instance, one of the things that I was, probably one of the things that I remember the most in my life was when I graduated from high school, and I'm thinking, what next? You know, change gets us out of our comfort zone. Change makes us uncomfortable. It makes us a little leery about the future. Or how are we going to handle this situation? One of the things that I was looking forward to, and it really should have moved me out of my comfort zone, but I don't believe it did, was when I left the phosphate mines to go to Bible college. When I left the driving the bus to be a full-time pastor instead of a part-time pastor. Anyway, I've been trying to do it full-time. I can do it better full-time now. But things like that move us out of our comfort zone. And when there's a change that takes place in our life, it causes us to be a little apprehensive at best. And we're going to see somebody here that gets out of his comfort zone. But there's a reason. He's got a motive to get out of his comfort zone. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God, starting with verse 22 here in Matthew 14. And it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Makes you wonder who was on the mountain with him before evening came, right? Now, I'm not going to go there, but stop. When you read your Bible, stop and focus on what's going on and what the Bible says. And think about the thoughts. Because apparently he wasn't alone. Were the angels with him? I don't know. We don't know who was with him. But he went up there apart to pray, and then when evening was come, he was there alone. 24. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings, and what a blessing it is to see this particular passage and the way you teach us from this passage. There's so much in this passage that we can draw from. But Lord, there are specific lessons that you have for us this morning. And so Lord, I'm just asking your Holy Spirit to move and to take over the service and take over the preacher. And let the message that you have for your people to drive home deep in our hearts. And Lord, keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. And Lord, we're your people. And Lord, our goal is to please you. Use this message to help us please you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things I see in this particular passage is the fact that Jesus, the disciples were uncomfortable being in a place where Jesus was not. Okay? They were used to being with him. For 3 years they were with him. They watched him cast out devils. They watched him heal people. They watched him do all these miracles, raise the dead, calm the seas, and fed the multitude. In fact, just before this, he fed the multitude right here in chapter 14. And so, as long as Jesus is there, you got everything you need, right? But all of a sudden, Jesus tells them to get into a boat and go to the other side. And he doesn't get in the boat. Now, to me, that would make me uncomfortable to start with. I want to be where Jesus is. Amen? I want to know he's with me. And you and I have the promise now that he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But they didn't know these promises like that, and they didn't realize just how great he was. We'll see it a little farther into the passage. But what we see here is the fact that, and you and I have a problem sometimes, we have a problem understanding what God's doing. Because sometimes we're just like the disciples. The disciples were obedient, right? They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And what happens? They run into a storm. You and I have a tendency sometimes to see, well, when there's a storm coming, we must not be in the will of God. You cannot say that.
That's right.
That storm might be there just to help make sure that you are focused on staying with the Lord.
Amen.
And I want you to look at what else it says. Look at verse 24. It says, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That word contrary, have you ever seen the video of the salmon when they're trying to swim upstream? They can swim downstream a whole lot easier. Amen?
Right.
There are people, I've heard of people catching a salmon and taking him upstream. And the salmon dies.
Right.
Because he needs that strength. That's building him. That's building the power. That's the way God set them up. And I want you to understand, you and I are like that sometimes. What we need to do is to realize that God has designed the winds of this world to be contrary to us.
That's right.
If you don't run into a storm now and then because the winds of this world are contrary to you, you're going the wrong way.
That's right.
Okay? And what we can see in our world, our country today, we see that the winds are contrary to what we believe.
That's right.
Okay, that's why there's such a wide divide between the left and the right. And what we need to see is the fact that we should be contrary to the way the world is. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I want you to understand that. We're not supposed to be comfortable here. And every once in a while, the Lord will jerk our chain and rattle our cage to help us understand. He doesn't want us to get comfortable here. He's got a job for us to do here. Okay? He wants us to stir up the devil's nest.
That's right.
Okay? That's why I'm saying all these things that I've got ideas on. I never imagined that Lord would provide a bus like he did for us.
Amen.
And then turn around and provide people for the bus.
Amen.
I never imagined he'd give us a building.
Amen.
We were asking for it. You say, oh, ye of little faith. Yeah, I've called myself that a few times myself. But the truth is, God provides and he believes. He wants us to step out on faith.
Amen.
So the disciples were in the boat. They were afraid that they were going to sink. Why? Because Jesus wasn't there. You ought to be afraid of a storm if Jesus isn't with you.
That's right.
Okay? Those storms are going to give you fits, royal fits. I mean, they're bad enough when Jesus is with you and he's trying to teach you something and trying to give you strength and helping you understand. By the way, sometimes those storms come just to help prove to us that we need him.
That's right. Amen.
Sometimes we get kind of self-sufficient. We think, oh, I can handle this. I can take care of this on my own. No, you can't. Jesus said clearly in John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
So don't you get into that self-reliant situation. You ought to just pop yourself one real good and get yourself back to reality. Because you can't do it. I can't do it. None of us can do it without him. We've got to rely on him. That's why the disciples were scared. They were scared of the storm. And then all of a sudden, not only are they in the storm, but look at the next verse. Or verse 26. And it says, and when the disciples saw him, Jesus was walking on the water, remember? And when the disciples saw him, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. I want you to get this. This is something. This to me, this is worth the lesson all by itself. When you're afraid, if you belong to Jesus, he's going to be there whether you recognize him or not.
Amen.
Whether you notice that it's him or not, he is there.
Praise the Lord.
The disciples didn't know it was Jesus. I want you to understand now, when Jesus was up on the mountain to pray, I really believe that he was praying for the disciples. He was praying for them to stay right. You know how easy it would be for the disciples to say, well, we run into this storm, we're just going to turn around and go back. But you know what they did? They stayed on task. They stayed on doing what Jesus told them to do. Why? That's where the blessings are.
Amen.
Okay? Can you imagine what was going through their mind? They're in the storm. They're in the boat. The boat is being tossed violently with the storm. And they're thinking, why are we going all the way across the sea without Jesus? How's he going to get over to us? Now, they didn't know he could walk on the water. He could snap his fingers and be there that quick. But the truth is, they didn't know all that. You and I know it because we've read these stories before. The things that Jesus has done before. But I want you to understand too, in the fact that when you're in trouble, when I'm in trouble, when we have fear and we cry out, the Lord's coming.
That's right. Amen.
And even the fact that there's a sea, half a sea between him and the boat. That's not going to stop him. Nothing can stop him from coming to his children's aid.
Amen.
He's the rescuer. He's the one. Guess what? Don't you think that the devil may have gotten into this storm? Boy, Lord, let me get in this storm. Let me dump these and drown these disciples and make Jesus start all over again. Hey, I want you to get this. They couldn't. The devil couldn't do that.
No.
Jesus wasn't going to let them. No matter what the storm is, you can count on Jesus walking through whatever, showing up, whenever. He is going to be there.
Amen.
But let's look at what else. Verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I want you to, They were crying out. They were scared to death. And guess what? Can you imagine those 12 guys on the boat crying like babies? And then all of a sudden Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." You know, that's what he's telling you and I when we go through storms.
Amen.
You know, that those words are not there for just me or just for the disciples. He put them there for us. They're in our Bible for our benefit. And he's going to take care of us no matter what the problem is, no matter what the issue is. He's going to take care of his children. The devil don't like it.
That's right.
He's going to fight us. He's going to put thoughts in our mind. Oh, God don't care about you. Jesus. You think Jesus is going to watch out for you? Those kind of thoughts come from the devil. How do I know he does that? Because he does it to me too. Look at verse 28. And it says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now that to me is a bold statement. Why would you get out of a good boat? It's kind of like some of these guys that jump out of airplanes. Why would you jump out of a good airplane? Amen? I mean, I've never been able to comprehend that or process that in my mind. I know people do it. I know people survive it. I know some that didn't. Okay, and they weren't in the military. They were just doing it for the fun of it, and the chute didn't open. But why would you get out of a good boat in the middle of a storm when the seas or when the waves are just rocking the boat to start with? Can you imagine how hard it was for him to get out of the boat because they're rocking back and forth and he's trying to climb down out of the boat? He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water." And I want you to get this. The boat was the safety. It was the safety. It was their comfort zone. But Peter saw something better. What did Peter see? He saw that getting closer to Jesus was worth getting out of the boat, even in the storm.
That's right. Amen.
What you and I need to do is to realize getting close to Jesus is the time, that's what we need. Peter was willing to get out of the boat in a stormy sea, regardless of anything, no matter how comfortable he was in the boat. You can't get in that situation. There are times you can't get closer to Jesus unless you get out of the boat.
That's right.
Get out of that comfort zone.
Amen.
And I know I say this quite a bit, but Sharon and I did a lot of that when we moved to Missouri. Our comfort zone was here in Polk County. And when we moved to Missouri, I hated leaving my youngins. I hated leaving my comfort zone. I didn't know anybody out there other than the few people at the church that we had just moved to and were helping to start the other church. Now, but I will tell you, do I regret going? No. Because I saw that the Lord moved closer to us and we moved closer to him because we got out of our comfort zone. And there's a church there where there wasn't one. Still winning souls. And we've got some of our dearest friends in the world are people that we met at Solid Rock Baptist Church. I want you to understand, Peter, he's saying, "Lord, I'm willing to get out of this boat. I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone. Lord, even in this storm, I know the best place to be is close to you." By the way, so there's another picture there in the fact that sometimes when you do get closer to Jesus, you have to go through a storm to get there. wasn't easy for me to leave my job at the mines and go to Bible college. It created a whole set of issues we hadn't planned on. When the Lord's calling you somewhere, though, I want you to understand that's where you're best suited for. No matter where it is, no matter who you're with, no matter what storm you have to go through, if you're His child, by the way, if you're His child, He'll see you through it. By the way, to me, one of the best things that came out of the decisions that we've made in the past is it proved that I'm His child.
Amen.
Because He took care of us every step of the way, just like He would a child. You know, if I hadn't seen Him doing anything and helping us and watching out for us, it would have caused me to wonder, am I really saved? I say this from time to time. I tell people, the kids at the college, I said, there are some people that I see who they are and the way they live and all, and they say they're saved, but I tell them right up front, I don't want to die with what they got. But it sure doesn't look to me like they're saved. I'm not saying they aren't. But to me, they walk by and I see a big question mark. I hope they're saved. But look at what happened. Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That was his motive, by the way, to go to Jesus. Okay? That's why he got out of the comfort zone. Be careful what you use as a motive to get out of your comfort zone. Okay? It should draw you closer to Jesus. If not, be careful. Because you better make real sure that he's in it. Look at verse 30. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, this is Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I know a while ago we were singing the song, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. That was the key for Peter. Peter was able to walk on the water. He was able to, didn't matter whether the waves were slapping him in the face, he was still not sinking until he took his eyes off Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. When you and I take our eyes off of Jesus and he's not the goal anymore, all of a sudden we're not walking on top of the circumstances, we're under the circumstances. Once you get this, God doesn't call us to be under the circumstances. I hate that term. Hey, the circumstances are not based on me. I don't have to walk under the circumstances. But God can use that and make me more victorious because I walk on top of the circumstances just like Peter.
Amen.
But Peter was, he was afraid and he lost his courage, he lost his eyesight, he lost his focus. Look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Think about that. Why did you doubt? My Scofield Bible, it says, Jesus, one of the headings on this passage, it says, Jesus walks on the water, Peter's little faith. I want you to understand something. If Peter had little faith, what did the other disciples have? Because they had less than what he had. They're still in the boat. That's what you and I need to remember. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to leave the crowd behind you.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? Don't worry about that. Because being closer to Jesus is worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. And by the way, the crowd you're leaving behind, they need somebody to step out on faith and set an example for.
That's right. Amen.
Because you and I, look around. We all have different people in our realm of influence. People that you interact with, people that I interact with, and every group needs somebody to step out on faith.
That's right. Amen.
They need to see it works. And Jesus, when you're stepping out on faith and you're walking to Jesus and the goal is to get closer to Jesus, guaranteed, He's not going to let you down.
That's right. Amen.
He never has. He never will. There are a lot of people that say, oh, you believe in that old Bible. Man, my life would not be the same without it.
Right,
I hate to think about what my life would be like if I did not have the Word of God
Amen.
To lean on, to stand on, to build my spiritual house on.
That's right.
On the bus, we sing with the kids. Brother Myron leads them. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. What's the rock? The words of Jesus.
Amen.
You read it in Matthew chapter 7. I think it's verses 24 through 27. And it talks about the Bible is the rock. But here we see that Peter, even though Jesus said, oh, why'd you doubt? Basically what he was saying was, Peter, you were doing good. You were doing good. Why'd you let up? Why'd you lose your eyesight and take your eyes off of me? And look at what it says. And when they were come into the ship, verse 32, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Just something to think about is, why did Jesus wait till they got in the boat to calm the storm? I don't know. I think he probably liked the idea of just sitting there. Because those waves weren't going to mess with him. Don't you dare slap me in the face. Hey. When he was asleep in the boat at the time with the disciples, guess what? Those waves, the water got in the boat and said that the disciples were saying it was about to sink. But I don't think that the water... It might have come right up close to where Jesus was asleep, but I don't think the waves had enough nerve to wake the master.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. He's the master of the sea, right? I want you to get this. There's a comfort zone that you and I get caught up in, and what we do is we end up staying there and... Life would be so much sweeter if we got out of our comfort zone and got closer to Jesus.
Amen.
And what I want us to do as a Christian, and this is my goal for myself as well, is I want us to get our comfort zone to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Wherever He moves, that's where we move. Whatever He has for us, that's where we need to be.
Amen.
And when we do it that way, guaranteed, life will be sweeter. You know what's going on in our world today? A lot of people have their own agenda for their own lives. Basically, they've got the devil's agenda and they don't know it. But they say, I'm the God of my life. I'm the one. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. By the way, that normally hits kids when they're about 13 years old, if not before. But God's got a plan. And your job and my job as Christians is to let people know outside what God's plan is. Is it hard? Sometimes. But that's why we've got those tracts. That's why we knock doors. That's why we're going to have a revival in November. That's why God's doing some mighty things. And we don't give Him a chance to work if we don't get involved in His work.
Amen.
You say, I don't feel comfortable passing out tracts. So you're saying you're in your comfort zone, right? I'm being honest. And believe me, I've been there. You can ask this lady right here. When I started passing out tracts, I did not want anybody to see me. I would take them and I would hide them or look around to see if anybody's watching and put them on the magazine rack at the grocery store. Or I'd put them on top of the telephone booth back when there were telephone booths, amen? Or things of that nature. I would do that. And then one time I got to a point where I was making a purchase at, I think it was at Kmart years ago, when it used to be over by Lakeland High School. And I was in there and I was making a purchase and I was getting ready to take one of the tracks and kind of just set it down around where the candy is. And the Holy Spirit just slapped me upside the head and said, "Are you ashamed of me?"
Right.
I don't think so, Lord. And He said, "Give this cashier a track." Yes, sir. I can't tell you how many I've passed out since. Tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 or whatever, putting them in people's hands. Not because I'm special. What are they going to do? Sometimes they refuse them. But the truth is, we need to get out of our comfort zone as Christians. We should not have a comfort zone that excludes Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus should be our comfort zone.
Amen.
The disciples, they were in trouble, but Jesus came to the rescue. Then Peter got out of his comfort zone for one reason, just to get closer to Jesus. And you and I need to do the same thing, to make sure that where we are is we're moving closer to Jesus.
Amen.
If He's not already there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for Your many blessings. And there's so much in this passage, so much to learn from, so much to draw from. And Lord, I just thank You that You've taught me so many lessons from this passage. But primarily is, number one, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus or this world's going to overtake us. And Lord, we also know that whatever we need to do, we need to be moving closer, doing what we can to get closer to Jesus. And Lord, there may be somebody here that's not saved. And Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, they need Jesus. And the only place, only way they can enjoy the protection of the Lord Jesus for eternity is to call on Him and to become His child. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, help make sure that they trust Jesus even this morning. Use the invitation for Your glory and our good. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.